The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Jeffrey Dahmer, Ted Bundy, the Night Stalker. These names are infamous, but do you really know what drove them to kill?
In Mind of a Serial Killer, we don't just tell you the story, we break down the psychology behind it.
Follow and listen to Mind of a Serial Killer, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Jason Williams joins us now, New Orleans District Attorney. I'm proud to say this man's a friend, and also I'm proud of the work he's done as District Attorney. How you doing, Jason?
Doing fine, Tommy. How are you? Hope you had a great holiday.
And you too, sir. We are friends, are we not?
We are.
Good.
We absolutely are, and I'm also a fan. I listen even when the topic is not in my bailiwick.
And right back at you. And matter of fact, I want to talk to you about some charges. No, I'm just kidding. I have no charges. Tell me about. Tell me first of all, and I always ask you about your mom, and I am concerned because you were a victim of a carjacking, and your mom. How's she doing? And how was Christmas for her?
You know, it's funny, Thomas. She was doing really good, but she left before 5 o'clock, before we got to Christmas dinner, because she was parked in the same spot she was when it all happened. It was dark outside, and, you know, the holidays bring up a well of emotion. Sometimes it's not very specific or rational, and, you know, she skipped the holiday meal because she'd just rather be in her home before night falls, and that's just part of the process of going through tough things. But I do appreciate you every single time I see you. You bring her up, and I tell her that, and I think that keeps people going.
Well,
you know?
She's in my prayers, as are you, as is every victim of crime. And also, I got to tell you, the juveniles that are in trouble or at risk in the juvenile justice system of being in trouble, because I am a Christian, and I think it goes both ways, right? You got to pray for everybody. I'm not trying to preach here. I'm just saying.
No, and absolutely. Even when people do horrible things and they need to spend the rest of their lives in jail, that doesn't stop you from being compassionate and thinking about their families who did not make a decision. I mean, that is what God and Jesus shows us.
Let me just pick your brain here, as friend to friend, about the commutation of Len Davis's sentence, because I think it goes to the nature of the death penalty itself. And when I heard from the, who was the victim, Jason?
Kim Groves.
Kim Groves. Her family, they said that they were happy, actually, because they wanted this Len Davis to spend the rest of his life in jail and wake up every morning thinking about what he did to their mother and to their family. And that begs the question to me about capital punishment, which is the worst punishment. Is it, in a way, giving somebody the easy way out and putting a needle in their arm, or is it having them spend the rest of their life in jail? Your thoughts on the commutation of Len Davis as either Jason Williams or as District Attorney Jason Williams?
So I can say, just as City Council President Jason Williams, I got to meet Kim Groves' daughter and family, and they've always been very clear about that. Before Joe Biden was ever president, they wanted a life sentence because they thought it was harsher. And they wanted him to think about it and live it, because they had to think about and live it, the loss that he caused. You know, he is as guilty as he always was. And he will spend the rest of his life in jail. And, you know, I reach out to survivors and next of kin because I want to hear from them. And you hit the nail on the head. That's what they've asked for. I know a lot of other people think they can speak for other people, but this family did not see that as didn't see that as the ultimate penalty. They saw life as the ultimate penalty. And that's a debate that this country will probably be having for a number of years. I can tell you, though, that the grandson of Kim Groves found himself in a lot of trouble dealing with a lot of things. And I can't help but just wonder, going back to your earlier point, if Lynn Davis had not ordered that hit on his grandmother, his life would have been very different. He had a very different relationship with violence. And we need to start talking about the big picture is the impacts that these decisions or these horrible things can have on the family members that we don't even consider true victims of violence in our community. Just like a child at the scene of a domestic violence scene. There's sometimes not even the police report. But we know that the children who are in the homes of domestic violence are more prone to find themselves in cycles of it on either side of that violence.
Yeah, and you know, Jason, it goes to me to life is a motion picture. It's not a snapshot. You just can't take one picture and say, well, look at what the situation is. You got to go back and see what happened. You know, making a novel, whatever you not novel, a work, a history, whatever. You got to go back and see what happened before that to lead to this. What do the stats show about death penalty and deterrence? Because I know the first debate I ever had to prepare for was about capital punishment. And even back then, and this was back, you know, as I approach 50, this was way back in high school. And at that time, they had instances of hanging pickpockets in England in the 1700s. And the problem was with public executions of hanging pickpockets, they had a hell of a problem with pickpocketing while they were hanging pickpocketers. So talk about that. Seriously, that's a true story. So tell me the deterrence factor.
I'm laughing because no matter the country, no matter the type of execution, whether it was Old Sparky, whether it was hangings, whether it was lethal injection, we have seen all sorts of crimes skyrocket at the height of executions. And so the data has been very, very clear that if the goal is to deter certain types of crimes, execution is not proven in this country or any other country to be a deterrent. Now, there's a lot of other conversations about the reasons it's existed and why we have it and if we should keep it or if we shouldn't. And there's legislators that will continue to have that conversation. But I can tell you from a data standpoint, it has not made us safer. And we should be really smart about it because it costs us a whole lot of money to keep somebody on death row all those years, all of the appeals, all of the, as opposed to, for example, the Joseph Washington case, that defendant, and everything was on the table, but that defendant pled guilty at arraignment to a life sentence, which is going to save that family from years and years of coming back to court and motion hearings and trials and legal maneuvering. So there is some families really just want to move on with their lives as fast as they can. They do not want to learn everything about the law because of the type of penalty that was sought. They want accountability. And there's all sorts of accountability.
And now Joseph Washington was the man that set the house on fire with his three kids in it. And the woman that was an accomplice got 4 years, right, for driving him away?
Absolutely right. And you're going to start seeing more of that in terms of anyone who plays any role in supporting, harboring, aiding, abetting crimes, providing weapons before a crime was committed, whether it be a mother, a father, a sister, anybody. Because as a culture, we've got to reset and get our heads back wrapped around the fact that it is us. It's New Orleanians against shooters, against violence. There is no compassion or aiding and abetting or harboring that can happen because then you're on the wrong side of the law. So in the Joseph Washington case, you saw that. You're going to see that in the case of the second line shooter as well. And I think the community is starting to get it. The community has been really reaching out and providing a lot of information about folks who are helping people commit crimes or protecting them after they've done it.
Now, let me take a break. We'll pick it up. We come back. Look ahead to 2025. District Attorney Jason Williams is our guest. 828 and a half. Tommy Tucker, WWL. Never enough time with Jason Williams, DA. Jason, tell me, as you look ahead to 2025, what are you most optimistic about?
I'm most optimistic about the season of growing collaborations and partnerships. And you think about 2023, we were the murder capital of the country, and the partnerships we were able to build with international experts, former CIA, NSA workers to help incapacitate a select number of violent offenders in this community and build strong cases. Double down. Right around this time last year, I was meeting with the governor and his inner cabinet about hopefully getting more state police here for a longer period. That has morphed and evolved into a permanent state troop with the amazing Captain Hyatt. Our work with the ATF and the FBI to strategically go after certain areas of crime, and with our No Dice program, getting city departments to help us shut down problematic spaces like the London Lodge and New Image Market. So, like, all of these collaborations have really sort of set up a comprehensive master plan that ties prevention and prosecution into a single strategy. And it's really firing on all cylinders. The governor's committed to it. The attorney general's committed to it. ATF, FBI, DEA, state police are all doing their part. Colonel Hodge was down at the Superdome with every single person almost in the city working on what our strategy is in this area moving forward. So I think the new technologies with Project NOLA tied into everything that we do and with the state, and we really set ourselves up that this is bigger than any one person, any one agency. There's no cult of personality. Crime continues to go down here in the city more than anywhere else. So we're going to double down on these things. We're going to shut down some other problematic areas so that we're going after the people that are committing the worst offenses. But we're also making it tougher for people to create new offenses and really zeroing in on the things that matter most to the people in the community.
Thank you, Jason. Appreciate you, man. I really do. Having a great, happy new year, and tell mom hello.
Absolutely. Happy New Year, Tommy.
Thank
Enjoy.
You. You too. Jason Williams, New Orleans District Attorney.